Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the Faith Podcast. I'm Shabir Hassan, and in this mini podcast series, we are going to be discussing Quranic du'as and exploring one du'a from the Quran per episode. We hope you enjoy, inshallah, and benefit from this. Don't forget to check us out on social media at Faith Space UK. Check out our website, faithspace.co.uk, and remember to come as you are to faith. As it is. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and welcome back to the Faith Podcast, where we are discussing dua. In the first episode, we spoke about the importance and significance of making dua, how it's almost like a lifeline for every believer, and not only this, but the importance also of understanding what it is that you're saying. And we ended by mentioning how it's important to make dua in your own language. Yes, it's important to take from the Quran and from the Sunnah, but ultimately understand what it is that you are saying, because dua is an opportunity to connect with Allah. It's an opportunity to mention and to tell Allah about what you're going through, what you're experiencing, what you need. And in order to achieve that, really we have to be able to articulate it in our own language. And with that, we are going to, of course, move to the first dua that I have chosen and that we are going to cover, inshallah, from the Quran. And we're going to go deep into that and understand what does this dua mean. And the reason why I've picked this particular dua is because whether we, you know, understand it or not, we are very, very regularly, almost certainly, making this dua several times a day, right? Because this dua is found in the opening chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha. And as you know, Surah Al-Fatiha, we are all reciting it on a daily basis, not once, not twice, but there are five daily prayers. And within those prayers, there are many units of prayer, and almost every single unit of prayer, we are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, which means that we are reciting and making this dua. But a lot of us don't understand what this dua is. And we're going to come to that dua and the breakdown of it and what it really means, so that we can appreciate it going forward, inshallah. But this dua is found in literally the first chapter, like we said, the opening chapter, Surah Al-Fatiha, which in the words of the Prophet ﷺ himself, he says this is known as As-Sab'ul Mathani, which we could translate as the seven oft-recited verses. Again, for the same reason that I've mentioned, every single day, several times a day, we are reciting these seven verses, these seven powerful verses, which almost is like a precise table of contents of the Quranic message. It almost summarizes, as many scholars say, most of the themes of the Quran. It's such a beautiful surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, describes himself, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, mentions different attributes of his, and also there's some beautiful supplications and du'as towards the end. One of those du'as which we're going to focus on is اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Right, again, it's such a short statement, but we're making this dua every single day. What does it mean? How can we translate this? Right, we can translate it to mean guide us to the straight path. Right, very straightforward. Guide us, our Lord, to the straight path. So there's many, many different layers to our discussion today on this dua and why it's so important to first and foremost ask for guidance. The word that is being used here is hidayah, which we would translate as guidance. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to show us the right way. Okay, in life, it's very, very easy for us to get lost. In life, it's very, very easy for us to lose and forget our sense of purpose. In life, it's very easy also to sometimes become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In life, it's very easy to get lost, you know, because of all the things that are going on around us. We get, you know, we get so consumed by the worldly life, you know, our careers, our families, you know, wealth and all of these things. It takes over. So we constantly need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. And subhanAllah, this is a dua that we're making so many times a day. We keep asking Allah for guidance, right? And again, some may argue, but you know, I'm praying, right? The fact that I'm even making this dua, the fact that I'm even reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, the fact that I'm even, you know, saying Allahu Akbar and praying is a sign that I am guided, right? Because I'm a Muslim, I'm a believer, I'm a person of faith, which is true, right? There's no doubt about it. But even then, we are in constant need of guidance. And not only this, but we are in constant need of being firm upon guidance. This is really, really important. And we're in need of increase in guidance as well. You can, you know, have an increase in guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, when he describes, you know, these young men of the cave, as they become known as, but these young men who were very, very strong and firm in their faith, Allah says, وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى, we increase them in guidance. So we are in constant need of increase in guidance, and we are in need also to remain firm on this, because again, like I said, it's very easy to sometimes deviate, it's very easy to sometimes, you know, go away from this path, and this path is exactly what we are going to speak about. So what's interesting about this wording is we're saying ihdina, which in Arabic means guide us. It doesn't mean, oh Allah, guide me, even though, you know, if you're reciting this by yourself, right, then, you know, you're saying it by yourself, you're not really including anyone, so you're probably thinking, why am I saying guide us? But really, this is part of the beauty of dua, is that dua, you can include other people in that. In dua, you can include all of your brothers and sisters. In dua, you can include the entire ummah, right? And again, when it comes to dua, you know, should you make dua for yourself? Should you make dua for others first? This is a separate discussion. Actually, what we would say is you should make dua for yourself first, right? If there's any time where you're going to be selfish, it should be in dua, but there's a limit to that as well. So what we mean by that is, at the beginning of dua, you should focus on yourself, really. Like, when you're in need, you're in need. You need to ask Allah. If you're in need of guidance, if you're in need of help, if you're in need of salvation, you need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But like I said, the beauty of dua is that we include others within our dua. And there are many du'as that we're going to cover and many du'as that are there in the Quran in which it includes everyone, right? So all of us, this shows us, all of us, we are in need of guidance. None of us are exempt from this. None of us can say, you know what, I have enough guidance for today. You know, when you fill your car up with petrol and it doesn't, you know, it's not filling up anymore because that's it, the entire tank is full, right? With us, our tanks of guidance aren't full, okay? None of us can claim that our tanks of guidance are full. None of us can say, you know what, today I don't need to make that dua because I have enough guidance. Today I don't need to ask for forgiveness, but because, you know what, I haven't committed any sins, or I don't have any shortcomings, I don't need to be forgiven. We can't do that, right? We are all in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, when we approach dua, we should approach dua in the state of humility, like we mentioned. We should humble ourselves in front of Allah because we are in need of Him. He is not in need of us. When we ask someone for a favor, right, we don't go and our attitude isn't such that we go up to them and you know, we show them that we are not in need of them. No, every time you need to ask someone for a favor, every time you need something from someone, you know what it's like. Yeah, we go up to them and it sometimes can be embarrassing. You know, we don't want to be in a situation where we have to ask someone for something, right? Where we are relying on someone else. It's not a nice situation to be in. So we have to kind of humble ourselves and ask that person. So with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our master, right, we humble ourselves, and all of us, we are in need of His guidance. So we say, ihdina, oh Allah, our Lord, guide us all, right? Show us the right way, because sometimes we can get lost. Oh Allah, keep us firm on this. So what is it that we're asking for? And what is it that we're asking to be guided towards? Allah mentions as-sirat al-mustaqim, which many of you have probably heard of, and which we translated as the straight path. But again, there's much more detail to what this actually means. What is the straight path? You know, is it some road that we can see? Is it some path that's out there that we've just not discovered yet? No, the straight path, you know, there's much discussion amongst the mufassireen and, you know, amongst the scholars as to what this actually means, there's different meanings that we can take. It could mean that the straight path is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. The straight path is the way of His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Others say, no, the straight path is Islam as a whole. Oh Allah, guide us towards Islam. Keep us firm upon Islam. And this, of course, includes the Quran, the book of Allah, the way of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. So all of this is fine. Right, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stay on this path. Ultimately, this path which leads us to Him, leads us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leads us to His pleasure. Right, Allah says in another part of the Quran, Wallahu yad'u ila dari salam, that Allah, He is inviting you, He is calling you towards the abode of peace. Darus salam, in reference to paradise, in reference to Jannah. Like Allah is inviting us towards Jannah. And then he says, وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. And he guides whoever he wills towards the Sirat Mustaqim, the straight path. Right? Again, guidance is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? We cannot guide others. Just because someone comes closer to faith because of us, someone might even enter into the fold of Islam because of us, meaning that we were the means. But ultimately, guidance came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah placed that guidance in the heart of that individual, right? So anything that leads us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is all this, you know, part of this path, right? Imam al-Razi rahimahullah, he mentions how this is also in reference to Sirat Mustaqim, is the path of moderation, because as you know, Islam is moderation, it's between laxity and excess, right? So it's a path of moderation. He also mentions how the word Mustaqim, it refers to, it means a smooth and even path where there's no roughness in it, right? There's no, like, you know, when you're on a path and it's really rocky, right? Or, you know, it's got loads of humps, right? It's got loads of bumps. And, you know, it's not a nice ride. If you're driving a car and, you know, there's constant, like, random bends, random turns, and, you know, it's the roads aren't even, it's not a pleasant ride, right? It's not a pleasant ride. And it's not a pleasant journey either. But here, the word mustaqim actually refers to something very smooth, very even. There's no roughness, right? It's very kind of, and it shows you the ease of Islam, right? Where if you follow the guidelines and if you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's actually a very smooth ride which leads to Him. It's a very smooth ride which leads us towards Jannah. Right, so these are all, you know, some different meanings that come out of as-sirat al-mustaqim. Also, by the way, the word mustaqim is where the word istiqama comes from. If you know what istiqama means, istiqama refers to steadfastness. So in fact, when you're on this path, it's not such that you can just carry on and you know, comfortably just navigate your way throughout. Actually, it requires istiqama. It requires a level of steadfastness with everything. You know, you pray salah and it's difficult. The struggle is real when it comes to salah, to maintain that and to be regular with your salah, to be punctual with your salah, and to pray your salah 5 times a day, day in, day out, and to observe all of its rites and to observe everything that's related to it. It requires steadfastness. Sometimes we're busy, sometimes we're at work, sometimes we're out with our friends, and it can become difficult to maintain salah. Right. Likewise, with any act of worship, with any act of obedience, it requires steadfastness, istiqama. Right. And it also shows you that it's not going to be, it's not going to be a journey which isn't going to have some sort of trials that come with it. Right. Again, Imam al-Razi, rahmahullah, he mentioned something really beautiful about this, you know, straight path, but about this steadfastness that comes with it. And he says that the aim is that through this guidance that we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, is to reach a state whereby if this person were ordered to slaughter and sacrifice their son, they would obey just like Ibrahim alayhi salam obeyed. Why? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam was steadfast, right? If they were ordered to be led to that sacrifice, then they would obey just like Ismail alayhi salam obeyed. Right, if they were ordered to throw themselves into the sea, then they would obey just as Yunus alayhi salam did. If they were ordered to be a student and a pupil to one more knowledgeable than them, despite having knowledge themselves, and despite having reached the highest possible position, then they would obey, just like Musa alayhi salam did with al-Khidr or al-Khadir. And again, if they were obeyed, if they were ordered to be steadfast upon enjoining what is good, enjoining right, and forbidding the wrong, even if they knew what the consequences would be, then they would obey, just like Zakariya alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam did. So this is, as Imam Razi says, this is what is meant by Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, that guide us upon the straight path, which is to adopt the way of the Anbiya, the messengers, God's messengers and his prophets, in being patient upon hardship and steadfast at times of tribulation, right? So in order to attain the higher stations, in order to attain a high position, it's not going to come with such ease, right? There is going to be some level of trial, some level of test, some level of difficulty that comes with it. And that leads us on to one of the final points I want to share with you all, which is after this verse, when we recite Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, there is actually a bit more detail to this path in which Allah has already given in the same chapter. He says, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, the path of those that you have favored, the path of those whom Allah's favors are upon. So now the question is, who are these people that Allah has favored? Right, because we're asking to be guided upon their path. So who are these people who have been favored by God so that we can also be favored? And this is actually answered in a different part of the Quran. In Surah number 4, verse number 69, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, those are the ones whom Allah has favored. He has showered his ni'am, he showered his favors upon them. And he mentions four stations, right? The highest being An-Nabiyyin, he mentions the prophets. Then he mentions As-Siddiqeen, those who are truthful. Then he mentions As-Shuhada, the martyrs. Then he mentions As-Saliheen, the righteous. These are the four highest stations, right? We have, of course, the prophets from Adam alayhi salam all the way to our beloved alayhi salatu wasalam. So there is no human being that can attain the station of prophethood, meaning that to be on the level of prophets, right, because they were protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were infallible, they did not commit any sins, so they were at the highest station. Then you have the truthful ones, as-siddiqeen, those who always spoke the truth, those who always affirmed the truth, those who always stood up for the truth, those who always, those who were always truthful in their faith, right? People like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, whose title was as-siddiq, right? People like the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam, may Allah be pleased with her, who was given a title in the Quran of Siddiqah, right? Then you have the shuhada, the martyrs, those who died for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who died for this faith, those who died for al-Islam, such a high station. And then you have the righteous, those who lived their lives according to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who were the closest to him. So Allah says, these people that I've just mentioned, they are the ones that I've truly favored. So in fact, when we make this dua, when we say, oh Allah, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored, we are actually asking Allah to guide us to the path in which the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, the righteous, in other words, the best of people, the people who have attained the highest stations, the same path that they are treading or that they have been on, oh Allah, guide us to that very same path, subhanAllah, right? So there is so much detail actually that every single day, numerous amount of times, when we ask Allah for guidance, when we ask Allah for Him to show us the straight path, we are in fact asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of these things that we've mentioned. So this just shows you that this small, short dua that we make and that we don't think much of every single day, right? There is actually so much behind this dua. There's so much meaning packed within it. And we need to understand this. So the next time we stand and we pray and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance, we ask Allah to guide us to the straight path, we should understand what it is that we're actually asking for. And we should understand, the power of this dua. And with this, we will conclude. And hopefully you're just able to see this one dua, how much it opens up and the power of dua. And I hope that inshallah you're able to take this forward when it comes to reciting this dua and bringing this dua into your life. And of course, next time we will be discussing another dua from the Holy Quran. So until then, wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Take care, and I'll see you all next time, inshallah.